With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
Welcome back. Junkies on 106.7 The Fan. We are live on NBC Sports Washington. As always, presented by EMP 180 Weight Loss Structure Accountability Results, the standard for weight loss in the area. It's EMP180weightloss.com. Every Wednesday morning at 9 o'clock, we go in the clubhouse with Mike Rizzo, presented by Burke and Herbert Bank, Unexpectedly Different. And Mike Rizzo joins us now on the Mattress Warehouse Hotline. Good morning.
What's up, Mike?
Good morning. Good morning, guys. How are you?
We're doing great. You sound very chipper, and that's how you always sound at the beginning of the interview. But deep down, you can't be chipper about how things have gone this last week. A couple heartbreakers.
Yeah, no, that's definitely not chipper, but upbeat and positive thinking. And, you know, the beautiful thing about Major League Baseball is we've got a game tonight, and, things can feel much, much different after a win, and that's what we're looking forward to. You know, we've got 43 games left, and we're going to grind out every pitch and every out until we are either eliminated or win the National League East again. So that's our thought process. That's my mindset always, and I think you have to have that type of outlook, or you will, this game can make you crazy.
All right. That's why we love you, man. You're a positive dude. If I was a fly on the wall on Sunday night in Wrigley and in the suite or wherever you were sitting, what would I have seen after Bodie hit that walk-off?
The same thing you were feeling, I'm sure. You know, just disappointment and, the way we played, the way Max grinded and showed, why he's the best pitcher in the game. And, the real beautiful baseball game that was played, those things get put by the wayside when you have a finish like that. And it was unfortunate to the club. They took it hard. And but you know what? The baseball gods allow you to shower it off and play a game the next day. And then you get walked off again. So it's been a tough couple of days. But these guys are resilient and as you could see yesterday, again, even in a losing effort, we had to dig ourselves out of a big hole early, but grinded it out to the last at bat and really put 27 outs of quality baseball in play and just came up short again.
Mike, a lot of people, a lot of Nationals fans are tweeting us, reaching out, and they're wondering about your role in bullpen construction. And tell us how the bullpen was constructed from start to finish. You made some decisions the last couple of weeks, let a couple guys go. Obviously, you've had to deal with a lot of injuries. Just talk about how the bullpen has been constructed.
Well, going into the trade deadline and into the season, we really liked our bullpen. We thought we had a three-headed monster at the back end of the game, seventh, eighth, and ninth with Kinsler, Matson, and Doolittle. We jumped out early in the trade deadline season and got ourselves one of the elite relievers on the market in Herrera. You could see the Herrera, Mats, and Doolittle seventh, eighth, and ninth really taking shape and taking form. And then you lose your seventh, eighth, and ninth inning relievers due to injury, and they're all on the disabled list, and you've got guys stepping up and putting them in positions that they're not accustomed to do or not ready to do if they're young kids like Suaro and Glover and those type of guys. But we love what those guys bring to the table. They're really one of the positive signs in a really, really negative road trip so far of the way Suaro and Glover have thrown the ball. And, those guys are our bullpen of the future, and those guys are have extreme talent and the moxie to pitch in the back end of the game. So it'd be tough to find any team that can have the depth and survive having their closer, their setup man, and their bridge to the setup man down at the same time and going with kids. So
impossible.
It's a tough task, and that's baseball, and that's what this game does to you, and it gives players opportunities to become that next level reliever, and that's what we're hoping for a couple of our young kids.
Let me ask you this: do you know how many, in terms of the exact number, how many roster moves you've made just in the bullpen this year? Because I got to think you're up near the top of the league.
Yeah, I don't have that exact number, guys, but I do know that we've had about 49 or 50 players on the 25-man roster this year, which is one of the tops in baseball. And we've had, I think, the second most disabled list days of anybody in the game. And, we lost a lot of key players for extended periods of time this year. And, you lose, one of your number one starters in Strasburg twice this season. And Hellickson's been down in a rotation in the bullpen. And then, your lineup was just starting to click on all cylinders. We're scoring a lot of runs, enough runs. You could see the lineup really taking shape. We just can't finish games off because of the back end of the bullpen injuries.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. I mean, we always kind of rib you, but I think it's true that guys kind of are like the back of their baseball cards. And some of these guys got off to really slow starts, but, man, as you mentioned, you look in just August, Murph's hitting .367, Harp's hitting .340, Rendon's hitting .313, Zim's hitting .414, Weider's hitting .305. I mean, it just goes on and on. Like, these guys are starting to turn it on, and then the damn bullpen falls apart. I mean, you almost got to just feel snake-bitten on some level.
Well, the injury factor is, that's frustrating just because those are things that you can't control, you know what I mean? And when you're in this game long enough, it'll teach you humility. It teaches you a lot of life lessons, and one of them is that you got to appreciate the good stuff and just kind of move on from the bad stuff. And I really like the way we're playing baseball too. That's the ironic part about it. We're playing good, clean games. We're playing really, really hard. At times, we're having to dig out of big holes early in games against really good teams and good pitching staffs like the Cubs and the Cardinals, and we've been doing it. I mean, I think all you need to know about how hard this team is playing for Davey is what we went through last game and in our first game here in St. Louis, where you get down early, you go up 4-2, and the kid hits an opposite field homer. They come back against our pen and Sammy Solis and go up 6-4 and everyone's down in the dumps, and all of a sudden you go in against their closer and tie the game up. So, only to have the Cardinals walk you off. So I think, we're playing 27 outs hard. We're grinding out at bats hard. It's a compliment to Davey and to Kevin Long of the way that we've been really been patient with this lineup, and you're seeing the the type of hitters that they are. It's just that we haven't put together three phases of the game in a row, offense, defense, starting pitching and the bullpen at one time. And that's what's bitten us.
Mike, when you look back on it, let's just say the season doesn't end the way you want. It's just kind of this way, right? When you look back on this season, I don't know, in a couple of years, and you're kind of reviewing, and how do you recap the two? If it ends this way, kind of 500-ish, you just don't make the playoffs. What would be the one? So if you had to sum it up, I know it's not one thing; it's multiple reasons why you're where you are. But how would you sum up 2018?
Yeah, I really, if that's the case, the numbers are the numbers. You know what I mean?
Right.
You like we say, your back of your baseball card says everything.
Right.
As far as the team goes, you are what your record is, and if it goes to plan as it is right now, and we're hovering around that 500 mark and that type of thing, you really can't put one type of description on it. This thing takes a village to play really, really good like we have in the past, winning 97, 98 games, or to win 83, 85 games. It takes a village, and there'll be a multitude of reasons of why that you know, things went the way they went, and we'll do our evaluation at the end there and figure out what we did right, what we did wrong, and fix the wrong ones, and kind of strengthen the good things we've done.
Will you look back on this and kind of go, well, this is the end of an era? Not to say you're not going to be good next year, but it's going to have a different tone, right? You got some critical guys that are free agents. We have no idea who you're going to be able to bring back, who you want to bring back. You know, Bryce, Murph, Geo, Weeders. I mean, there's some guys here you guys are going to make some critical decisions on. Is there a tinge of, man, this is kind of end of an era for you, or how do you look at it?
No, you know, we talk about these windows, you know, the closing right of the windows. We, you know, our windows are wide open, man. You got a 19-year-old rookie of the year candidate. You've got a 20-year-old Robles in the wings. You've got an anchor at third and a young player at short, and two stud pitchers in the front and a stud pitcher in the back. So we love our core group of guys. Our window's wide open. We've got a fertile farm system that keeps filtering good players to us each and every year. We're creative in the trade market and the free agent market. We see this team to be good, competitive, and going to be very, very athletic in the future and win a lot of baseball games. So there might be a little different complexion of the team. It may look a little different. It may be a few different faces, but those faces are going to be exciting, athletic, fast, moving, playing with 100 mile an hour with their hair on fire, and it's going to be, Nats baseball is going to be captivating to watch for the near and far future.
Mike, I know you don't like or care about other teams, but I just want to ask you one question. I wake up every morning and I look at the scores and I go, how the F did Oakland win again? All right, and they now are one back of the Astros. It's conceivable. I would still bet that Houston wins the division. It's conceivable, Mike, that Houston and the Yankees play in a wild card game, and that would blow my mind. But they're 37-12 in their last 49 games. I mean, and no one knows anybody that plays for them. It's unbelievable to me.
Yeah, it's a good young core group of players that they have. That unless you're out in the West Coast or know their farm system, you don't know what Chapman is, but you know, one of the great young players of the game right now. They're hitting on all cylinders. I know Bob Melvin, their manager, very, very well. We were together in Arizona, and he's a quality manager and he knows the game inside and out. And they've got themselves a good young core group of guys who they don't care who the Houston Astros are or the Yankees are. They just care who the Oakland A's are, and they're hitting on all cylinders, and it's fun to watch. And I think that that's the beauty of baseball, that any given day, any given season, you know, things can happen and great stories are written. And I think Oakland is writing a great story.
Time now for the Burke and Herbert fan question of the week. Burke and Herbert, unexpectedly different. This one comes from Eric in Southeast. Do you think Ronald Acuna will surpass Juan Soto for NL Rookie of the Year?
Well, it'll come down to the last, 40-something games. They're both terrific players. They're franchise type of players, both of them. Acuna is, got a lightning quick bat, and he's got great skills and great tools. And Juan Soto, who's the youngest player in the game right now, and has been just terrific for us. You talk about a 19-year-old who's carried a team on his back until the lineup got rolling like it's rolling right now, and that's Juan Soto. He's going to be one of the great players for a long time. And beyond his skill set as a player, he's even better as a person. What a great young man this guy is, and he's a credit to the scouting, player development, international scouting of this organization, who I think is second to none in the way they do their business. And it's going to be exciting to watch this thing go down the road. Another thing about Soto is we can't forget that this guy's learned a new position at the major league level at 19 years old with 8 games above the A ball level. So
crazy.
That story is just incredible.
Mm-hmm. Mike, we've heard so
much.
I'm
going to vote for Soto.
Yeah, I know you are.
We've heard so much the last couple years about Victor Robles. How do his skills compare to Soto's?
he's a different type of player. His skill set is off the charts. Now, you know, Robles is a elite defender in center field. He's a 70-80 defender and a 70-80 runner. And he can steal bases. He can really throw. He's a kind of a human highlight reel type of guy with power and the ability to hit. Juan Soto's offensive skills are second to none as far as pitch recognition and on base percentage and the combination of power and hit are hard to surpass. But Victor is kind of a toolbox, can do all sorts of things, and one of those players that are really electrifying. And a guy that unfortunately he was another one of the injured players that really hurt us early on in the season. He went down with an elbow injury in I think it was like the fourth or fifth game of the AAA season, and is just getting his sea legs back now. He's in AAA, playing very, very well. And we'll see him. In D.C. To take a look at both of those guys standing next to each other, sometime this year. But electrifying player, one of the top prospects in the game, and a guy that again is going to be a long term piece for us for years to come.
It's Mike Rizzo. Thanks for joining us. We'll talk to you next week.
Thank you, Mike. Appreciate
it. Okay, guys, don't be so bummed out. Fellas.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's kind of hard.
We don't make what you make.
Yeah, we know why you're not bummed out. I'd like to see your paychecks.
Thank you, Mike. Thank you, buddy.
All right, guys. Thanks a lot. See you next week.
All right, man.
Mike Rizzo.
So Mike is just fun, man.
What's he making? About $4 million a year or something like that?
More than us.
What's his new
More
deal?
More than us combined.
Was his new deal a two-year deal
By
or a
far.
Three-year deal?
I thought it was three, but it might be two. I can't
his
remember.
His paychecks are just fat.
Yeah, he's doing okay.
But he's right. We are going to see Robles and Soto at some point this year.
Yeah, good.
Yeah, it's called September 1st.
That's right. September call-ups will be coming soon.
Pretty soon, I'm going to have to start getting back into the, have you talked to Boris about a deal yet? I'm going to start getting that. You know what I mean? Because the season's over.
Yeah.
So that'll start to be my next thing. That'll be, are we going to, what are our chances here?
He's not going to answer that.
Have you guys talked? Is there a chance maybe you do a shorter term deal than a longer term deal? I'm going to start getting into that stuff. What about Gio? How quickly are you going to tell him to get out of here?
Who are you asking that?
Mike.
And he's going to tell you the answers?
No.
Well, he's going to probe.
Oh, okay.
Now maybe he gives you something.
There's a better way to probe than just asking him on the show.
Speaking of giving,
might get good answers that way.
Those don't help me.
He might give us something, and right now we're going to give listeners something.
Knowing something off air doesn't really help me.
Why?
Well, I mean, just for my own personal edification, but I don't care about that. I'm trying to.
You want
to
let the listeners know?
Well, let's find it.
Make a story.
Let's make some headway here.
Hey, right now we're going to hook up listeners, callers 10 and 11, with tickets to go see comedian Gary Owen, October 13th at the theater at MGM National Harbor. Tickets go on sale this Friday, August 17th, 10 a.m. It's courtesy of Live Nation and the theater at MGM National Harbor. Get the details at thefandc.com/contest. Again, 10th caller, 11th caller, 800-636-1067.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Hey, real quick before we dive into the entertainment page, we need to thank Subway.
Yes.
We've been fans of Subway.
Hit the spot.
Since we started the show. On the weekends in 96, countless times going to Subway in Fairfax, which was right by the station. Now I go, Jason got Subway right before he picked up his car the other day, and my car wasn't there. I was like, you know what? I'm just going to follow his lead. And went to the Subway Cafe here in D.C., but Subway dropped off some delicious free food. The greater D.C. area Subway restaurants are actually partnering with the Muscular Dystrophy Association this month to help fight muscular dystrophy and ALS. You can donate today at participating Subway restaurants to help the MDA fight to free individuals and their families from the harmful effects of these diseases. So they're doing good. And Jason said years ago, they're the place for food.
They are the place for food. Good food. I should change it. You should see some of the reactions from the listeners on the zip line when we talked to Mike.
Right. I mean, what are they?
People are fed up.
I mean, they're just, I mean, what do they ask the tough questions? You're giving them softballs.
What are we supposed to ask them?
What do you want me to ask them?
I mean, that's what I want to know. I said the same thing. Some people were tweeting us at Junks Radio. I asked them about bullpen construction. I'm not going to say, hey, Mike, why does your bullpen suck? Why did you put together a terrible bullpen?
Well, this one guy says the reason we're getting walked off is because we got rid of good players and it was management's decision. And he's talking about Kinsler and Kelly. Kinsler isn't any good. I don't know why people think Kinsler would be saving all these games. They replaced Kinsler with a good player who got hurt.
They got rid of two donks.
Mattson just got hurt. I mean, Doolittle's been hurt. I mean, there's no other options. You think if they had Kinsler and Kelly, what are they, cutting into the lead? Come on. I mean, be real.
Maybe one game. Let's give them one game. Maybe. One.
But maybe. To give the benefit of the doubt to the person sending a text, maybe they're talking about people that were available last year or the year before. Maybe they're, you know, this is hindsight's 2020. Maybe they're saying maybe they shouldn't have given up on Blake Treinen.
Okay, well, hold on. That's not what he said. He says we're getting walked off because we got rid of bullpen pitchers and had no one else to replace injuries. It's not bad luck. It's personal decisions by management. I would say that they got rid of average at best pitchers that would not be relied on. You want Sean Kelly closing games in Wrigley? And then it's personal decisions by management. Well, okay. Well, there was something going on with Kinsler in the locker room. All right? Mm-hmm. He didn't like it. So he traded him. And by the way, Kinsler goes into Wrigley Field in his first outing. He gives up two runs, and the Nats tie the game. Ain't that good.
That's why I never read any of the texts.
I mean, these people are nuts. They've had some horrible injuries at the worst time in the bullpen.
Well, the texters are texting in the 2-1-0 Mike Fetter.
Could he go out and get other guys? Sure, but, you know, he's got a boss. He's got a boss. He's got to clear these moves through. I mean, what do you want? What should we say to him?
Continue to bother Jason on the Thompson Creek Windows text machine. 1-800-636-1067. Standard message. Data charges may apply. You can also call us if you want.
And then everyone's killing Davey. Okay, Davey's a rookie manager. Whatever. It's not like Mike Rizzo wanted to fire Dusty. He wasn't the first guy in the room to fire Dusty Baker.
And we're not going to ask him the snarky questions. Like, I just saw somebody.
No, in fact,
somebody just tweeted us. Not even fire him, just not bring him back.
In fact, he stood on the table fighting for him.
Right.
It was actually the opposite.
From what we heard, yes.
These people don't know anything.
Somebody tweeted, it would have taken balls, asking who the next manager was going to be. We're not going to do that.
He's not going to fire Davey.
First of all,
zero chance.
We got to talk to him every Wednesday.
Mm.
All right. And we have a personal relationship with the guy. We're not going to ask him something stupid like that.
And the truth is, my perspective is, Mike Rizzo has put together a team capable of getting into the playoffs and winning. For whatever reason, it's not happening. They've had to deal with a bunch of injuries. Some guys got off to slow starts. You know, we talked about Bryce's role in it in the first half of the season. The guy was hitting, you know, 220.
You know what? What did bother me about the Mattson deal, and I was going to bring it up, but, you know, he's not going to criticize Mattson. The only problem I had with the Mattson deal on Sunday night was after he gave up the walk-off, he talked about how his back hurt, and he couldn't control his pitches.
Right, you should probably tell
let people know.
Pitching coach and manager beforehand.
Well, yeah, I wanted to ask Mike if he knew that. Did he know that his back was bothering him?
Well, he didn't. He said later he didn't.
Yeah, I mean, so what are you supposed to do? They put a pitcher in to close out a game, a huge game, that they thought was healthy.
But don't be defensive. You're taking it as people are attacking you and people are attacking us.
Well, they are.
They're just frustrated Nats fans. They're frustrated.
They are. When someone says you're chucking them softballs, yeah, I'm taking that personally.
Give me one legitimate question that we didn't ask. Legitimate question.
I'm sure most people
I asked
weren't.
Him if it was going to be an end of an era. We talked about how would you – I'm sorry, I'm eating. It's a Subway. You give me food, you tell me to take a picture of that. I'm not supposed to eat the Subway. We asked him if it was an end of an era. We talked about – how would you sort of summarize the season if it ends the way it looks like it's going to end?
We basically told him you're not making the playoffs.
Yeah, I mean, it's over.
He's not stupid. I know he comes on every Wednesday and goes, hey, we still got 43 games left. You never know. You can get on a run. And this is baseball. You got to play it out.
A couple weeks. A couple weeks ago, he ripped off just, like eight teams that were in a similar position.
He's not doing
today
it anymore.
He didn't.
All right. Well, let me tell you something. There's no way Mike Rizzo truly believes, genuinely believes they're going to make the playoffs. He knows. But he's not going to come on every Wednesday and go, yeah, the season's over. We suck.
Well, it's hard to make
Madsen
the playoffs
killed us.
When you have the 19th best record in baseball. Right now, the Nats have the 19th best
record. It doesn't
record.
Help us as radio hosts to ask him stupid, what you think are tough questions. They're just stupid questions. Like, why did you hire Davey? I mean, that doesn't help us professionally. It doesn't help us.
No, it doesn't help anybody.
Right. So we're not going to ask him that.
No.
And then when you say stupid things like, yeah, we got rid of great relievers. Oh, please.
Kintzler was poop. Kelly was okay at times.
Kelly always gave up huge home runs. Always. He wasn't that good.
But he had some moments. But, you know.
Well, all these guys have moments.
No, but I'm saying even this year, I thought he had some moments.
Why so, Rick?
Because they just
hump day. It's hump day to the show.
The listeners just get on my nerves sometimes. Good Lord.
He's actually going to be the guy that's the first to walk off.
Walk off the show?
Yeah, because 10 years
from
now.
Yeah, but he likes money so much, I can't see him doing it.
10 years from now, when you're doing a Kylie Jenner story.
Yeah. That's it.
If I had too many, catch me outside.
I'm done with the Kardashians.
I'm done with them.
Can't believe you're still talking about Khloe and Kylie.
Kylie Jenner's worth $5 billion.
Oh, man.
And the one guy says
catch me outside. How about that?
He might as well be Sarah Sanders. That actually makes me laugh.
Hold on, I don't get it.
She's
up there and says everything's fine.
PR.
For some reason, I was thinking of Summer Sanders, the swimmer.
No.
Okay, Sarah Huckabee.
Yeah,
Summer
Huckabee
Sanders.
Sarah
a little Huckabee. Bit slightly hotter than Sarah Sanders.
Yeah. Hey.
But everything's fine. Yeah. I mean,
he didn't say everything was fine. He said
he's
we're 500. You are what your record is. He knows they're not going to the playoffs.
He said we're
going
to keep fighting the good fight. And that's what they have to do.
What do you want him to say? We suck.
I know.
Is that what they want him to say?
Yeah, when I asked him if I was a fly on the wall in Wrigley in the suite after they walk off, what would I have seen? He goes, just like you. Frustration.
Thing?
He was MFing everybody. I guess he was throwing things.
Well, so were fans. Yeah. I think he was right. It was a good answer,
though. I think he's too mature to be throwing things. Do you know how many losses he's taken in his career? Do you know how many heartbreaking losses he's had?
Right.
That is one of hundreds.
Okay, but he still pisses him off.
He's taken tougher losses in the playoffs.
I guarantee he still pisses him off.
Of course. It's probably a sinking feeling, but it's happened so many times. I don't think he's throwing things around like a little kid.
I mean, you're taking it so literal. He's MF. He was pissed. More pissed than what he let on when I asked him the question.
Yeah. Well, I thought I thought his answer was fair, though. He said, feeling the same way you probably did. You know, and his fans were pissed and frustrated. So I didn't think that was a bad answer. I didn't think he was ducking it.
Well, I guarantee you he was very vocal.
I think where he sugarcoats things the most is when he comes on and he goes out of his way, and it's to his credit that he goes out of his way to praise guys. You know what I mean? Like, he's praising Davey at every opportunity. You know, he's just not going to criticize his manager on the radio. It ain't going to happen. I guarantee you there have been times where he's been upset with moves, but he's not going to talk about that on the radio.
Right.
Yeah.
Of course not.
Right.
One guy's texting in now. They're not as good. They're not a good team this year. They'd be in last place in two other divisions. We know that.
They have the 19th best record in baseball.
Yeah,
few weeks ago. When
you think
he doesn't
know that?
The reason why a few weeks ago I said I don't see them getting into the wild card race, when we were talking about it, do they have to win the division or wild card, was there were seven teams ahead of them. There were less teams behind them than ahead of them.
Right. Well, they're closer to the bottom.
Exactly. That's my point.
Yeah. All right, when we come back, we will get to the entertainment page.
Oh, was that supposed to be the EP segment?
Yeah, you just bum rushed.
God, that was brilliant.
Yeah. All right, don't go anywhere.
Oh, but I do need to let you know about the St. James. Look, St. James is awesome. Everybody's getting ready for the St. James. And today, August 15th, you can join an evening of free food, family-friendly outdoor activities, free hard hat tours of the complex, which is absolutely amazing, the St. James. Plus, you have an opportunity to chat with coaches and directors, learn more about their extensive array of offerings coming soon to the St. James. So come on out to St. James this Wednesday. That is today. It's a free, fun event. Starts at 6 p.m. tonight. Open to everyone. Find more details at thestjames.co. Welcome back. Junkies on 106.7 The Fan on a game show Wednesday brought to you by MGM National Harbor. We're going to play the very exciting Caller 10 game right now. Caller 10 at 800-636-1067. We'll hook you up with some tickets to go see comedian Gary Owen October 13th at the theater, MGM National Harbor. Tickets on sale this Friday, August 17th, 10 a.m., courtesy of Live Nation. And the theater at MGM National Harbor. You can get more details at thefandc.com/contests. By the way, our buddy Bill Burr is going to be at the theater at MGM National Harbor, I believe, next Friday.
So funny.
Is he going to come to the studio? No, he'll be doing a phoner with us Wednesday at 9:20.
Gotcha. He doesn't want to come in? He's not going to be in town?
Not at work. Trust me, I push
he's
for it.
He's doing a one-dayer. Like, he might just be flying in the morning and then flying right out.
Gotcha.
That's
cool.
He's big time now. He just doesn't come in studio.
I think he's doing two shows. Think about the money he makes. Packs the theater.
A lot.
Does one show. Packs the theater again. And then rolls.
Nice life.
He and Mike Rizzo got FU money.
All right, boys. Try the entertainment page. Take two here. Demi Lovato apparently still in the news. They're saying her alleged drug dealer was recently arrested for guns and drugs before her overdose.
So now we're doing the dealer stories?
Apparently, the guy who showed up at her home and did drugs with her right before her OD was arrested back in March. His name is Brandon Johnson. He had a stash of guns, drugs, cash.
A good dude there.
When they picked him up in North Hollywood, he had narcotics, a fully loaded semi-automatic handgun, and he was like Lurch, $10,000 in his pocket.
Be nice to have $10,000 in my pocket.
They then searched his home, discovered more guns, more drugs, more ammo. He was also then arrested in June and charged with DUI and possession of cocaine.
All right, so I'm going to Google drum. All right, enough of that song.
Are you still taking your Tramadol?
Yeah. Not daily. I mean, I usually take it Sunday nights.
Sunday nights.
That's right. How you go to sleep, like after a weekend?
After a long weekend where, might have been up a little late.
How it starts,
Friday and Saturday.
One day a week habit.
I can tell you last night.
I tell you what, I took it Sunday. I took it Sunday at about 5:45, 6 o'clock. Oh, I was out by like 7:30.
What about all the boozing you do, though? With the boozing and then the little Tramadol, I can't be good. Isn't that
a lot of boozing? Like 3 drinks?
I think that might be bad. You better investigate that.
Last night, I'm
at happy hour every night?
No, but I know on the weekends you like to drink.
Who doesn't?
Just don't say you don't.
Friday, Saturday. I'm trying to think what I did on Friday and Saturday. I think only one of those nights I was boozing.
All right.
The other night I was chilling.
Hey, you do you. If you donk off, I'd be sad, but I'd divide the check 3 ways.
Still doing the Tramadol. Last night I did I went to the doctor on Monday because I've been carrying this cold since before I got back from Italy. Mm-hmm. International travel pummeled me. My voice is banged up, sore throat, cough, whatever. And I was thinking maybe I've got strep. I even thought I had pink eye. The doctor basically said, you have none of it. You just have congestion.
Right.
But she gave me what she dubbed a narcotic. She's like, I can give you this narcotic, and it'll at least hopefully help you sleep at night so you're not coughing as much at night. Because I told her that's when it really picks up, in the night and the mornings, you're coughing, getting that congestion out.
Right.
Last night I took it, and I don't know why I did it. You know how some people say things happen that are wacky when you take Ambien? I got up in the middle of the night to use the bathroom. And I didn't use the bathroom right in our bathroom. I walked down the hallway. I went into my daughter's room where she's sleeping in a crib. You don't want to mess with the baby who's sleeping. And I walked through there. And then when I went to the bathroom, I was like, what am I doing here?
You were just wandering.
Yeah.
You caught yourself wandering.
Why would I do that?
And that was the effects of the Ambien?
I'm going to guess. I wasn't taking Ambien. It's
or whatever it's called.
It was a sleep aid. It was a sleep aid or no?
It's a cough medicine. It's like right.
I don't know. You should try to hit the skins with that. Maybe it's silly.
If you don't want it anymore, ship it over to me. I'll take it on Sunday nights.
He'll give it a go.
Yeah, don't doze off and then hit skins.
He's going to have to go into the rehab with Demi Lovato soon.
Tramadol's money. I don't even need it anymore.
Tramadol sounds like something.
Because my shoulder feels great.
That sounds like something they give horses. Right.
Right. What is it? What is that? The thinner that they would give the horses that we would always read about? Come on,
Was it Lasix?
Lasix, yeah.
I had that on my eyes.
It's a different kind.
I had that 10 years ago.
Right. I think I might need another touch-up. I can't read anything close anymore. Anything.
Just being old.
Oh, you definitely need a touch-up.
But they do that now. Like, on my computer in the morning, like, sometimes it's butt blurry.
Is that common?
Like if
yes,
I get close,
when you hit your 40s.
If I get close, I can't read on my computer. I have to back up.
Yes. Doesn't cakes have readers? They're called readers. You're going to have to get those little goofy readers.
I mean, I had silly Dr. Witten. Yeah. Right. Silly.
I know, but
he did tiger's eyes.
Well, they actually told me when I had the procedure done by Dr. Witten the
you're
first
so
time.
I said same doctor's tiger.
The first time they said that
silly vision.
You actually generally are going to need those reading glasses a little faster and sooner.
That might be true because sometimes, I mean, I just feel like I'm dying.
Yeah.
It's like everything.
You
got to
put your phone like this. You look at your phone, you got to push it further away.
You're like, my computer? I cannot. My computer, I have to be like, so
hurting. You need another
and
one.
And I'm not rocking readers yet. Well, how, I'm not doing it.
Well, how long does it take before they shift?
Before they focus?
Well, no. Well, like,
you
I feel
push it further away. You got to push your target further away.
Well, I feel silly. Like
right here,
because
right. I had the procedure and it's silly and everything.
Oh, you mean when does it start to go?
Yeah,
40s.
I don't know.
Really?
You're still young.
40s. If the natural process for the eyes, naturally, it's generally like early 50s when you start needing those reading glasses, and if you have the surgery to correct your nearsightedness. Which is what you had, it'll just bump it up a few years.
I think he's definitely bumped it up a few years. It's just
yeah, my wife will put a picture in my face sometimes. She's like, hey, look at this great picture. I'm like, I gotta push it further away.
I'm not doing readers yet. I'm not, that's really punting. I think that's when you punt.
Do you get the ones that like split in the middle?
Yeah, I'm
you
not doing
those?
That. The what are those bifocals?
No, bifocals is a split
that's
in the middle of the lens.
Right.
I'm talking about they have readers which people like have here.
Yeah, it's just the bottom half.
Yeah. Well, like just pop it back. Yeah, I'm not doing that.
No, I'll just grind through it. I'm fine right here. I'm 4 feet away from my computer.
Yeah, but I have my laptop on my lap. And
why
I'm
would you
watching something?
Why do you have to go this close?
Well, because I watch TV and I have my laptop on my lap.
He's saying it gets blurry if you're close.
Yeah,
I know, but why do you have to be that close?
Well, because like I say, I got it on my lap.
I'm 4 feet away. It's fine. It's perfect.
Yeah.
I also got the bigger screen, though. My screen's small all day. You got the small hurting screen.
Jason, you'd be distraught. Matt Lauer apparently has agreed. They say he's bending over backwards to give his soon-to-be ex-wife, Annette Roque, everything she wants in their divorce, including a multi-million dollar payout because he feels so guilty for cheating with multiple women at work.
Mm-hmm.
He's agreed, apparently, to pay Roque, his wife of nearly 20 years, up to $20 million. That's actually probably getting off easy.
He was making $20 million a year.
That's probably getting off easy.
What did he have? He had a button on his desk or something that would close the door?
I think it would
lock
or unlock the door.
All the executives.
Right?
They're actually saying, in fairness to him, that a lot of the executives had that for safety.
Yeah, and I think it's kind of common. In bigger offices, if you're an executive and you don't want to be disturbed, if you're like you're on a conference call and people come in.
Right.
By the way, somebody mentioned this the other day. I think it was Rand. He said something about he saw me get something out of our lockers. Like we have a locker. And he said something. He used the term office. And I said, what actually made me think, when's the last time we actually had an office?
Fairfax.
That's what I said.
Yeah, but Fairfax, like not even at the end of the tenure. At the end of the tenure, we didn't even have an office. We said,
think about it. We're a successful radio show.
We're about as successful as you can get.
We should have demanded an office.
We don't have an office.
Everyone else has an office.
We don't need it, though, because we just leave.
Yeah, no one
cares. This is our office.
Yeah, what are we going to use an office for?
I agree, but it's just some of it is stature.
That would be inappropriate
some
with the
some
employees.
Some of the status is stature.
That's what you need an office for.
That's the only reason.
So I can go put my pens away.
I used to get massages.
Tinted windows.
And they were legit, legal, nothing... whatever.
Nothing happy
boring
about them.
Nothing untoward.
Right, boring
endings. The most boring endings ever. But I used to get them in our office. once every 3 weeks ago. What was her name?
Tatiana? Why do I believe there was a Tatiana giving you massages?
I think it might be Tatiana.
I don't think it was that.
She was my massage therapist. She'd bring her portable massage table
up in
the office, close the door, and I always got the most boring massage ever.
Yeah, I bet they were boring.
But boring.
Mm-hmm.
Sad endings.
Sure they were.
It was sad endings. The worst endings ever. They were.
His name wasn't Todd. It was Tatiana. I guarantee there was something going on.
I wish. I wish. Oh, man. So anyway, $20 million. Here are some of the properties, apparently, that Matt Lauer's got. They say he recently bought.
I might not care if his name was Todd anyway.
Knowing you. He recently bought Richard Gere's estate for $36.5 million.
Yeah.
So that's in play here.
What about Chris?
He's apparently recently sold his Upper East Side apartment that for $7 million. He had a Sag Harbor home on the market for $12 million. He's got a New Zealand farm he purchased for $9 million. This guy's just got.
Why is he purchasing a farm in New Zealand? That is random.
I have no idea. It's 30. What a waste of money. But the show's almost over?
What, are you unhappy about that?
I'm just trying to think. Man, I'm going to get all the stories
you
in
can do
here.
Some extra.
Yeah, you
want extra?
Ask Grant.
Why don't you ask Grant and
Grant
Pete?
See if they want to do EP?
Yeah.
They
see what
lead
that
off
answer
the
will
show
be.
An EP?
What's the next story?
Usher's STDs.
Right. Let's see if Grant wants to lead off of that.
All right, we got to get out of here. For Bish, EB, I'm JP. We'll see you tomorrow. Grant and Danny.
Be safe, everybody.
Coming up next on The Fan.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.